listening to the CCA Podcast.
Turn in your Bibles. If you'll grab it, there's a Bible in the seat in front of you, or if you have your phone or device, if you got a Bible app on there, we're going to be starting with the book of Ezekiel. Chapter 18, verses 21 through 32. It says, if a wicked person turns away from all the sins they have committed, and keeps all my decrees and does what is just and right, that person will surely live. They will not die. None of the offenses they have committed will be remembered against them. Because of the righteous things they have done, they will live. Do I take any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Sovereign Lord? Rather, am I not pleased when they turn from their ways and live? But if a righteous person turns from their righteousness and commits sin, and does the same detestable things the wicked person does, will they live? None of the righteous things that person has done will be remembered. Because of the unfaithfulness they are guilty of, and because of the sins they have committed, they will die. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not just. Hear you, Israelites, is my way unjust? Is it not your ways that are unjust? If a righteous person turns from their righteousness and commits sin, they will die for it. Because of the sin they committed, they will die. But if a wicked person turns away from the wickedness they have committed and does what is just and right, they will save their life. Because they consider all the offenses they have committed and turn away from them, that person will surely live. They will not die. Yet the Israelites say, the way of the Lord is not just. Are my ways unjust, people of Israel? Is it not your ways that are unjust? Therefore, you Israelites, I will judge you, each of you according to your own ways, declares the Sovereign Lord. Repent. Turn away from all your offenses. Then sin will not be your downfall. Rid yourselves of all the offenses you have committed and get a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, people of Israel? For I take no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Sovereign Lord. Repent and live. In this part of the writing of Ezekiel, we see that God is both just and forgiving. We see God telling the Israelites that there are consequences to their actions, both good and bad. We also see him telling them that what they have done is in the past, good or bad, doesn't necessarily decide their fate in the present. And this is good news. We see this continue to be true in the life of Jesus. A woman is caught in adultery and brought by the religious leaders to Jesus. They want him to condemn her. Instead, he seems to call out these so-called righteous leaders on their sins. And he forgives the woman, and then he challenges her to go and sin no more. God is just and forgiving. We see it again in the life of Jesus as he's hanging, dying on the cross, flanked on either side by two criminals. One of them, who did indeed deserve to die, recognized his own depravity, that Jesus was the Savior. And he said to him, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And how did Jesus respond? He said, today you will be with me in paradise. We see it in the life of Peter, who denied knowing Jesus three consecutive times on the night that he was betrayed. Not once, not twice, three times. But because of Peter's heart, because of his repentance, Jesus offers forgiveness to Peter, reinstating him and telling him to lead his people. that Peter would be the rock on which God would build his church. Again, this is good news. This principle of mercy and forgiveness proves to work no matter the time in history or the culture. It was true for the Israelites in the time of Ezekiel around 600 BC. It was true for those in the Roman culture during the reign of Emperor Tiberius. And it is still true for us today. The good news is that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. The good news is that if we repent, meaning if we will turn our backs on our selfish living and our disobedience to God's commands, if we'll make a 180 and submit our lives to Him, we will be saved. We'll be forgiven, just like the criminal on the cross, just like the woman caught in adultery, just like the Apostle Peter. I remember when I was in high school, I had just picked up my driver's license. I thought I was so cool. And even more, I thought my car was so cool. We had this late 70s bright yellow Volvo station wagon. And my parents had installed this seat in the back in the station wagon part of it that could flip up and face backwards, which was pretty awesome. And it meant that you could easily seat 3, 5, 7 people in that Volvo station wagon. And if you really crammed it, you could probably fit 13. And I remember I was driving home from my friend Jeremy's house one day. It had just started to rain. And as I'm coming to a free left turn to head towards my house, I thought to myself, you know, I bet I could drift this bad boy. And so I did. Coming around the corner, I hit the gas a little too much, and that rear end came sliding around, and I freaked out. And I made the fatal mistake, which was hitting the brakes, right? And the whole thing just slid right into this ditch. Here I am in this ditch, and I'm trying to get out, and my back wheels are spinning, and the further I get into the ditch, the further my car is leaning onto its side. And I'm distraught. I'm freaked out because I knew I had made a mistake. I get out of the car and I'm walking around to see, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And this older gentleman from across the street walks out and he says, well, you're in kind of a bind, aren't you? I'm like, yes, yes, I am. Can you help me? Man, this guy, he totally could have called the police or something. I had totally torn up the grass in this ditch trying to get out of there. He could have called the police, but he looks at me and says, yeah, I got a truck. Let me pull you out of there. And he pulls over his truck and he hooks up a tow cable to the back of his truck and to the front of my Volvo, and he gives me some directions. He says, now when I pull, I want you to do this with the tires. Don't turn them this way because you'll roll. Turn them this way and we'll pull and we'll get out of this ditch. And I listened to the directions that he gave me, and he pulled me out of that ditch. This is what God is saying to Israel. It says, no matter what you've done, no matter what ditch you have put yourself in, I can pull you out if you will listen to my directions and follow them. Now, the opposite is true. We can be driving the straight and narrow, and we can make a choice that will put us into the ditch. And that's what God is saying to Israel. Cause and effect. We've heard of this before, right? But the thing that is so amazing is that God is a God of justice and He is a God of forgiveness. The problem for Israel in the time of Jeremiah and Ezekiel is that just like us, they wanted their own way in their own timing through their own understanding. But that's a problem because A, our ways are most oftenly selfishly motivated. B, we can't control the timing of everything and everyone around us. And C, we never see the whole picture of what's going on in the hearts and minds of others or in the spiritual reality that works hand in hand with our physical reality. Israel wanted to do evil, selfish things without any consequences. They wanted their own way, and they wanted God's blessing. That would be like one of my kids spitting in my face, putting out his hand and say, "Hey, Dad, can I have $100? You can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't put your hand in a fire and expect not to get burned. As God speaks through the prophet Ezekiel, we can see similar undertones as that in Jeremiah, where it talks about the potter and the clay. And I think if we're to be completely honest with ourselves, we'd recognize that we don't know everything. Again, if we're completely honest with ourselves, I think we'd find that we're similar to Israel, that our frustrations with God and his ways are rooted in our own selfishness or in our own lack of understanding. We're the clay. God is the potter. And if we will accept his good news of repentance and forgiveness, he will make us into something beautiful. He'll make us into something that is useful, something with a purpose. So during the next few songs, I'd like to have you spend some time looking at your life. Because our God is a God of justice and forgiveness. And I want you to ask yourself some hard questions. Am I being obedient to Jesus? Have I submitted myself to him fully? Am I following him with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength? With this in mind, maybe you want to take your notes, and on the back of it, you might want to, or on the front of it, wherever you want, you might want to write a letter to God. Just saying, "God, here's where I'm at, and here's what I've done, and I need your forgiveness. I want to be like those people that you talked about in Ezekiel, that if they turned, you would forgive them and that they would live." Maybe you want to come up to the front, kneel, confess, and ask for forgiveness here. Sometimes it takes a little bit of physical activity and some movement to really cement some things that God is doing inside, doesn't it? So you have some options. You can stay where you are. You can participate through the music. You can do some writing on your notes. You can come to the front. And maybe today is the first time you've heard this good news, that there is a God, your creator, who cared enough to leave heaven and sacrifice himself so that you could be forgiven, so that your disobedience and your mistakes could be forgiven, so that you could be pulled out of the ditch. We're going to have our prayer team. I'm going to ask that our prayer team come to the front. And if you would, if this is your first time that you'd say, "You want to know what? I do realize I've put myself in a ditch, and I need Jesus to pull me out." Sometimes that's hard to do on our own, so I would encourage you to come up to one of our prayer team, and they will introduce you to Jesus, and they'll talk to you about what the next steps are, about baptism, about learning to read God's Word, the Bible, and about plugging into a small group. But let's not waste this opportunity from what we've heard from God's Word to repent, to ask for forgiveness, and to receive his mercy and grace. This is my desire, to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. I give you praise. give you my heart, I give you my soul. Ashamed of what I've done, what I've become. These hands are dirty. I dare not lift them up to the Holy One. You plead my cause, you right my wrongs, you break my chains, you overcome. You gave your life to give me mine. You say that I am free. How can it be? Now,
more time. You plead my cause.
You plead my cause. You right my wrongs. You break my chains. You overcome. You gave your life to give me mine. You say that I am free. How can it be? Yeah. How can it be? Yeah. How can it be? How can it be?
You can have a seat. Jeremiah chapter 50, verses 33 and 34 says this. This is what the Lord Almighty says. The people of Israel are oppressed, and the people of Judah as well. All their captors hold them fast, refusing to let them go. Yet their Redeemer is strong. The Lord Almighty is his name. He will vigorously defend their cause so that he may bring rest to their land, but unrest to those who live in Babylon. God is just, but he is forgiving. When I read this section from the prophet Jeremiah, I thought of a couple things. First, I remembered Jesus talking with Pontius Pilate. You know, the scene is Jesus on trial. And Pilate is asking him who he is, and is he the king of the Jews and all of this stuff. And Jesus said to Pontius Pilate that he came to testify to the truth. What was the truth he was talking about? The truth is that he is God. He is God. The truth is that he left the glory of heaven for us. At the beginning of Jesus' ministry, Jesus pulled the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And in a service probably something like this, not exactly, but with a gathering of his fellow Jews, he pulled the prophet Isaiah and read this: "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus is stating the truth of who he is and why he was here, to proclaim good news to the poor. Freedom for the prisoners. Sight for the blind. Setting the oppressed free. And proclaiming the Lord's favor. It reminded me of what James said this in his letter, chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And I think one word sums up these two different sections of the Bible. Hope. Hope. There is hope when our financial struggles seem to be overtaking us. There is hope for those in captivity, those captive to addiction, no matter what form. There's hope for those who need physical healing. There is hope for those who are depressed, downtrodden, or oppressed. There is hope for broken relationships. There is hope for those who need forgiveness. Does God always take us out of our circumstances when and how we want Him to? Does He always heal when and how we expect? Does He always provide what we want? No. Sometimes there are other things that are in play. He may be working on changing something inside of us. He may be working on changing something in someone else through us. Why does He do that? I don't know. Remember that He is the potter and we are the clay. What I do know is that God promised He would never leave us or forsake us. He promised that He would walk with us through the valley of the shadow of death. He promised that when we hold on, just hold on, that when we pass from this life into eternity with Him, there will be no more pain. There will be no more sorrow, no more suffering, no more tears. And that is good news. So we still hope, even though we don't understand. We still pray, even though we don't always see the answers like we want. We still ask, because the Bible says that we don't ask, have because we don't ask, or we ask with wrong motives. When Jesus taught His disciples to pray, He told them to be persistent. Persistent like a woman who goes into court to get justice from the judge and won't give up until she receives it. She keeps bugging that judge and bugging that judge and bugging that judge until he gives her justice, because he's tired of her coming in and asking, asking, asking. And Jesus says, this is how we should pray and never give up. So during this next section of our time, we're going to be like that woman. We're going to be persistent. Like a woman who goes into court to get justice. If you need physical healing, come be prayed for. If you need emotionally healing, come be prayed for. If you need financial provision, come be prayed for. If you need freedom from addiction, come be prayed for. If you need relationships restored, come be prayed for. If you're depressed, downtrodden, anxious, overwhelmed, come be prayed for. Because today, our God is not just a God of justice, but He is a God of forgiveness and He is a God of hope. Today is a day for good news. Today is a day for healing. Today is a day for forgiveness. Today is a day for freedom. Today is a day for hope. Amen? So we're going to turn this place into a place of prayer. The front is open for you to come pray. You can turn in your chair where you are and kneel if you want. You can stand with your hands raised as a symbol of, God, I need you. God, here are the things that I'm struggling with. You can sit with your face in your hands and cry out to God. But let us make this a place of prayer. Again, our deacons and our prayer team will be available to anoint you with oil, just like the Bible says. They will be here to pray for you. And we're going to make this place just a place of prayer and seeking God's face, to hold on to that hope that He has given us. God, we ask that as we move into this next phase of our meeting together, that Your Holy Spirit would descend. As we are persistently coming to You with our needs, we ask that You would intervene. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Without borders, let me walk. walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. My faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. My faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet would ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Above the waves, when oceans arise, my soul will rest in your embrace. I am yours, and you are mine.
Sing, Spirit, lead me. Spirit, lead me.
Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior.
With us and sing this song.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. The Lamb who was slain, holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the and is to come.
of wonder at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath of living water, such a marvelous mystery.
Time, let's sing that holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy
is the Lord God Almighty, was and is to come. All creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything.
Continue to make this place a place of prayer and worship. If you want to stay and continue in that attitude, in that position, we welcome you. We don't want anyone to leave burdened this morning. If you have to go, that's totally fine. May the Lord bless you and keep you this morning. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and bring you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And everyone said, Amen.